Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Welcome back to a study in the living word. Today's message, this is part 14 in a study in the living word, part 14. And the title of today's message is God's Words Are Containers of God's Life.
Amen.
Amen. Do you realize that? God's words are containers of God's life.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
God in his living word is absolute life. And therefore, his living word is absolute truth. Father, we thank you for this time in the word today. Thank you for the opportunity we have to come before your throne. Thank you, Lord, for your presence in each of us. And thank you, Lord, for the life that is in the word.
Thank you, Lord.
That life that is in the word caused us to be moved from darkness into light, caused us to be born again, new creatures in Christ Jesus. The old have passed away. Behold, all things are new. Thank you so much, Lord, for the privilege and honor of being with us in every area of our life, for being present by the Holy Spirit in each of us. And thank you, Holy Spirit, for revealing the living word to us today. In Jesus' name,
amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, as I just said, God's living word is absolute life. And therefore, his living word is absolute truth.
Amen.
Last week, we talked about God's word being absolute truth and what that means. I come up with a dictionary definition of absolute. So listen to this carefully and just let it go down in your spirit concerning God's word. Absolute, according to the dictionary, means complete, perfect. Free from limitations, restrictions, or exceptions, unqualified. God's word has unlimited authority.
Amen.
It's undoubted, certain, the absolute truth. Not dependent upon, conditioned by, or relative to anything else, independent, pure, and unmixed.
Amen.
So again, I'll read that because it's very important for us to realize when we say God's word is absolute life, God's word is absolute truth. This is what we mean. It's complete and perfect.
Thank you, Lord.
Free from limitations, restrictions, or exceptions, unqualified. Having unlimited authority, undoubted, certain, the absolute truth, not dependent upon, conditioned by, or relative to anything else. It's independent, pure, and unmixed.
Amen.
I could go home right now and be done with the message. Because that's what we're talking about. God's word is absolute truth and absolute life. Just as God never changes, God's nature or ways do not change.
Amen.
His ways are absolute. Neither does his word. His word is absolute. God's words have absolute integrity. His word is his bond. His word is absolute truth. I hope we can get that down deep inside of us. So the next time we go through a problem or issue, we can run to that word.
Amen.
Run to that word as a treasure and realize what has God said about this. Because what God said about this is absolute truth.
Amen.
And he cannot lie. Not only is God himself the source of the living word, but the living word is God himself. God and his word are one. John 1:1, real quickly, Amplified Classic. In the beginning, before all time, was the word, Christ. And the word was with God. And the word was God himself.
Amen.
So we're talking about absolute life, absolute integrity, absolute truth. All that God does is done by, in, and through his word.
You know, when we know that, we can just live in the peace that passes all.
Amen.
Regardless of
Amen.
What we're facing or going through.
Yes, if we can get our carnal nature, our mind, emotions, and will to conform to that. And that's our choice. We choose that. We choose to believe it. Once we do, it brings peace and rest in our life. No matter what you're going through, you know that the Word's working mightily in you and working mightily through you to others. You're not arrogant. You're just simply walking in the Word. You're allowing the Word to be the Word. You're allowing God to be God. You're allowing the Lord to be Lord. You're allowing the Holy Spirit to do what He does. You're allowing the angels to work. If you believe that, those angels have a lot to do because they're continuously grabbing that Word and they're going out there and working with it because the angels hearken to the voice of His Word. Psalm 103, verse 20. So God does. All that God does is done by the Word. He doesn't just pull something out of the air. Everything He does conforms to the Word. He does only works by the Word and through the Word. He started that way, and it'll be that way through eternity.
Amen.
All that He does by and through the Word.
Hallelujah.
If I know that, where should I go to get God's answer?
To the Word.
I got to go to the Word.
Yep.
And He was so kind and merciful to us, He gave us a copy.
Thank you, Lord.
Of it. It took centuries to write that Bible. But every word is God-breathed.
Hallelujah.
It's from the heart of God. I don't need to run to the doctor. If God tells me to go to the doctor, I go to the doctor. But I go to the Word first. And when I go to the doctor, I go with that Word in my heart. I go with that Word in my mouth. I go, if I can, go with it in my hand. I go with the Word of knowledge from God, telling me what to do and where to go and when to do it. And I'm believing that that same Word is working mightily in that doctor.
Amen.
And what He tells me is coming from the very heart of God. I believe that. All that God does is done by, in, and through His Word. Everything, no matter what it is, conforms to His Word. Well, then why is all that sin out there? Why is the devil out there? That's called mercy. He's waiting till the last one comes in.
Amen.
If He wrapped it all up right now, how many that would be saved would not be? Everything God does is through His Word. He's extending His mercy so that all will come, that will come, will come.
Amen.
They all have their opportunity. But He's working mightily in them. He's working mightily in us. Hallelujah. It's all conforming to that Word of John 1:3, Amplified Classic. All things were made and came into existence through Him, and without Him was not even one thing made that has come into being. That's exactly what we just got done saying. Well, we're going to say it again in Colossians 1. Colossians 1, verse 16. This is a New King James Version. For by Him all things were created. Now that's two witnesses right there, isn't it? For by Him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth. Notice He took in heaven.
Amen.
He took in heaven and He took in earth. Everything in heaven was created other than God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, and eternity itself. Those were not created. Everything else has been created. Everything in heaven. Everything that's in eternity. Everything on earth, other than God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, and eternity itself, because eternity itself is God. It was not created. That's why it's without beginning and it's without end, because eternity is God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. So, for by Him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible. Whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created through Him and for Him. And He is before all things, and in Him all things consist. And He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He may have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in Him all fullness should dwell, and by Him to reconcile all things to Himself, by Him, whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of his cross. That's the entire gospel right there.
Amen.
From beginning to end. That gospel, that verses right there start at the Father's heart in the beginning before all time. And it runs throughout all eternity. That's all found in those verses right there. It covers the whole thing. For by him were all things created. You can't find something that was not created by God.
That's right.
Well, there shows God, the devil was created by God to destroy. No, he wasn't. He became that way.
Right.
When God created the devil, he was majestic. He was the chief worshiper in heaven. He was one of only three archangels. He was totally responsible for all the worship before God's throne. But he decided that his throne, he would raise his throne above God's. He was rebelling against God. That was his idea. He didn't have a tempter. God says that. The word says that. He did not have a tempter. Therefore, he does not have a redeemer. We've been tempted. Man was tempted. We have a redeemer. Jesus.
Hallelujah.
He does not have. He cannot be redeemed. He is totally, absolutely doomed. And he's 100% defeated. Glory to God. That's good news. There's going to be a time that you and I will be present. If you're born again, you will be present when that angel grabs Satan by the throat and throws him into that pit. We'll be there. Hallelujah. That is awesome.
And to think and to know by Scripture that God has given us, in Jesus' name, total authority.
Total.
Over Satan.
In his name.
In his name, not in our name.
That's right. We got to walk that out and avoid the temptations that Satan brings our way. But God is total light. All things were created by and for him. And they're going to come right back again. That's the whole idea of the blood of Jesus. The whole idea of the cross is restoration and reconciliation.
Hallelujah.
Bringing everything full circle right back where it was supposed to be. Man was not intended to fall. It was not in God's plan, but he knew it would happen. But it was not in God's plan for man to fall. You know, we're supposed to, right now, you and I are supposed to be walking with God in the Garden of Eden and in eternity right now. There was never supposed to be a fall. But man fell. He was tempted because of Satan's fall. You know what our job was? God, it says it in Genesis. We were supposed to go back, to go out there and take authority and dominion over everything that existed inside of time, that includes Satan. That was Adam and Eve's assignment before the fall. Didn't he say that? Go and take dominion? God sent Adam and Eve to go and take dominion. That was our job. God put us here inside of time to take dominion over Satan and all he destroyed. We didn't do that. Adam fell. He obeyed the temptation, and therefore he'd come under Satan's rule. But God, I love the but God's. He sent Jesus, who was fully man and fully God. He sent Jesus, a man, to do what Adam was supposed to do. Paul calls him the second Adam. He had the same assignment. And now in Jesus, we have the same assignment. We're taking dominion over him. That's our job. And when it gets to the place that it's supposed to be, the church will be without spot or wrinkle, and Jesus will come back. And we'll leave, and Satan will destroy himself.
That's right.
He'll destroy himself. That's the whole plan. Glory to God. And there'll be a time coming, not a time, there'll be a point coming when there'll be no more time. Satan will be locked up, not for a short period of time.
Ever, forever.
Forever, for eternity. He's locked up for 1,000 years, then he's let loose for a short time. That time he's locked up, it's permanent. He'll never get out again. There'll be no more sin, no more illness, no more crying, no more sighing, none of that.
Hallelujah.
No more sin.
No more tears.
We'll be walking where Adam and Eve were walking.
Before the fall.
Before the fall. The way we're supposed to be walking. We should have never left there. We would all still exist. There was not supposed to be one single baby born in sin.
Amen. And pain.
And pain. There'd be no, there would have been none. Everyone that was ever born would have never died. And really, we don't. We exist there for eternity anyways. Either in heaven or hell. But that's so awesome. God's bringing it full circle. Right back again. So, God's words are containers of God's own life. So here we see in verse 17, He is before all things, and in Him all things consist. Without God, nothing exists.
That's right.
Verse 18, And He is the head of the body of the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He may have the preeminence. Who is the head of the church?
Jesus.
Jesus.
Amen.
Who's He? We just got that saying. He's the one that existed before all time. He's the one by whom all things were created. That's who's the head of the church. Not man. God is the head of the church. Jesus is head of the church. And we're walking through this earth. This, the church, the real church, is walking through the earth in the authority of Jesus.
Amen.
He sent us. We have His authority. We've been sent.
And you know, as I've been in the ministry for years, it has been so peaceful. The Holy Ghost has given me such peace when the revelation truly came to me that who I was and the authority that I was walking in.
Yes.
Amen.
Didn't have anything to do with my physical fleshly weakness.
No.
Had to do with all of His resurrection, victory, and power.
That's exactly right.
Hallelujah.
It doesn't, still doesn't make you anything but a child of God.
That's right.
Which is awesome. But in and of yourself, in and of myself, I'm just a human being, like anybody else. But within me, we are carriers of the Holy Spirit.
Thank you.
We're carriers of God's Word. God's living Word lives and abides in us. We've been sent, praise God. And if we've been sent, then all authority has been given to carry out our mission. We're not lacking anything.
Amen.
The only thing we lack is obedience. Amen.
And, so, and faith enough to be confident.
Exactly right. That what we're talking about should give us confidence. God's Word is alive.
One of the biggest works of Satan is doubt and unbelief.
Yes,
against the believer.
Exactly right. Yeah, but you're only Michael. No, I'm more than Michael. I'm a child of God.
Amen.
I was only Michael. Now I'm more than that.
Through the shed blood.
Through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. I'm walking this earth in Him.
Right.
Where I go, He goes. And when I speak, He speaks. When He speaks, I speak. We're one. And that's awesome. But the problem is, I don't think we believe it. It's the way we think we do.
A lot of times.
But it's time that we do.
Or we give up too quick.
We do. We do. And it says in verse 20 there, and by Him to reconcile all things to Himself. Stop on the word all. How many things?
All.
All things. All of creation. It says that all creation is groaning for the manifestation of the sons of God. In other words, it's creation itself is waiting for us to take our place.
Amen.
Glory to God. God's words are containers of God's life. The Word of God is alive. That is why God's words are containers of God's life. God's Word is alive. Therefore, it brings forth life. If God's Word is alive, and it is, if it's God's life in that Word, if the Word of God contains His very own life, when I receive that Word, when I declare that Word, when I study that Word, it's bringing life to me. If we really understood that principle, We wouldn't do anything else but be in that Word all the time. We wouldn't do anything but that. Someday, and I'm not in it all the time. I'm in it quite a bit, but I'm not in it the way I should be. None of us are. If we really understood the light that is in this Word, we really understood that, we would be 100% Word wherever we go. I'm not saying you wouldn't work at a job, but they'd know who you are.
Yeah.
They wouldn't like you much.
And that authority simply rests upon us.
Exactly.
And flows through us.
Exactly right.
And we don't have to be a big bully. We don't have to be a bragged about thing. We can just be the creation of God.
That's right. We just walk our love walk through life, submitted to Him and His Word, believing what He said, and now we're an answer for somebody.
When we know that, then it's very easy to walk with the faith that worketh by love and let that river of love flow through us.
Hallelujah.
To every person we meet.
Amen. Fully knowing it's not me.
No, it's Him.
It's not me at all. I am just another person. It's His Word flowing through me. But I have to believe it. I have to trust it. I have to conform to it. We're going to look at some things that hinders that here shortly. John 6:63, New King James Version, says, Jesus said this, "It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit, and they are life." That tells us right there, the Word of God. God and His Word are one. Jesus is the Word. The Bible is the spoken Word of God. The Word that God, by the Spirit, placed in the earth through man writing it out, and by the Holy Spirit. And it says, it is the Spirit who gives life. So who gives us life?
The Spirit.
Who gives life through that Word? The Spirit does. The flesh profits nothing. Or to be carnally minded is death. To be spiritually minded is life and peace. The words that I speak, He spoke them all, didn't He? Because He is the Word.
Yeah.
They are spirit and they are life. God, words are containers of God's life.
Amen.
You know, may I say, I have observed through the years how in the religious setting, mankind will stress himself out trying to be, look like, act like God.
Mm-hmm.
When that's totally unnecessary.
It's like, yeah, well, we do.
Let's relax.
Yeah.
Just be who we are.
Just be who you are. Just relax, man. Just let God be God through you. Hebrews 4:12-13, New King James Version. For the Word of God is living. There we see it again. The Word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of the soul and the spirit and of the joints and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. God's Word is alive. God's Word is alive. God's Word is alive. 1 Peter 1:23, New King James Version again. Having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, through the Word of God, which lives and abides forever. Boy, it's a powerful verse.
Hallelujah.
Having been born again, born again, born again, we move from darkness to light. The old man died, the new man lives. Hallelujah. It says, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible. What's that mean? It means that the Word of God cannot be corrupted. It cannot decay. It cannot change. It's eternal. It's everlasting. It's solid. It is what? It's alive. We've been talking about God's Word is absolute truth. It's absolute integrity. It cannot be corrupted. It is absolute. It has absolute life in it. And when it is received, it brings forth absolute life. Not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible. That means it's not corruptible. Through the Word of God, which lives and abides forever. There again we see God's Word being alive. Psalm 119, 130, Amplified Classic. The entrance and unfolding of your words give light or life. Their unfolding gives understanding, discernment, and comprehension to the simple. Even the simple can understand it. Or those that can hardly think. It's so simple. God's Word is simple. I just have to make a decision to believe it.
Well, if it gives understanding to the simple, they won't stay simple.
They won't stay simple.
They'll start learning.
They will start learning.
And understanding it.
It's amazing how your mind will start comprehending other things as you receive the Word.
Amen.
It broadens your intelligence. It causes you to understand things that not even related to God's Word, things in everyday life. It broadens your understanding. It brings forth life and restoration. So I like the way it says that the entrance and unfolding. Other versions just says the entrance. Well, that's good, but I like this better because the entrance means you're receiving it. Now you receive it, you open it up. You do something with it. That's the unfolding of it. You know, I can hear the Word and hear the Word. I can even open the Bible and read every page on it, but not have it unfolded. Not have it opened up to my understanding. That's what it means when it says enter the entrance and unfolding. It means now that it's entered, I mean, we receive a lot of words all day long. Praise God, we don't comprehend some of them, because we better not. They're not unfolded. But this is so very, very, very awesome for us to understand that when we receive the Word, I unfold it. That's my job to unfold it. God gave it to me. The seed of the Word is there. But now that seed has to be activated or unfolded.
That is where it's so wonderful to know and understand that He gives us wisdom with understanding.
With understanding.
How to do that very thing.
Exactly. We can have the wisdom to do something and not be able to do it because we don't have the wisdom to do it. So this is an awesome scripture. The entrance and unfolding of your Word gives light. Not just the entrance. So make Psalm 119, 130. If you got an Amplified Classic, make it a priority in your life. See every time you read the Word that I'm going to read this Word, but Father, show me the unfolded Word. I choose to activate this Word. I choose to walk in it. I want it unfolded in my life. I want it opened up. I want revelation of it. That's what it means. And the Holy Spirit is the one that brings forth revelation knowledge. But it gives light. If it's not unfolded, even though it entered, it doesn't give light. You know, you can plant a seed, but that seed not be activated, and you never get a plant. Right? That's why bags of seed run all over the place. They just stay, remain seed. Until there's something there that activates that seed. Now you may see a corn stalk pushing through a gunny sack, if you know what a gunny sack is. It pushes through all the holes. Even though it's the rest of them's not, something happened to that one seed that caused it to be activated.
Well, if we drop a bean in the sink when we're cleaning beans and don't get it out of there, tomorrow we'll have a sprout on it.
It'll have a sprout on it. Why? Because it was activated.
And moisture.
Has moisture. Yeah. So when I receive the Word, I speak the Word, I believe the Word, now it's activated. Now that light that's contained in that seed is coming forth. But if I don't do that, if I just sit there and read it, don't meditate on it, don't consider what it says, don't receive what it says, do nothing with it, all I've done is read the Bible. They found seeds in Pharaoh's tombs, you know, when they opened them up, that were placed there when the Pharaoh died thousands of years earlier. They were never activated. But when they took them out, they grew. When they were activated, yeah. when they were put
There's
in soil,
life in it.
They started growing. Thousands of years later. That's what I'm talking about. That's a simple thing in nature. But God created seed to contain life. It contains the life of what it came from.
Amen.
And when we receive the seed of the Word of God, His Word comes up in us. And His Word's what brought forth life. So it ought to make sense to us if I want my body changed, my mind renewed, if I want things changed, there's only one place to get it. The Word of God. There is no other place. I can take all the pills in the entire state of Missouri. Well, better not. You could, if you think it would benefit you. And you'd still be the same person you always were.
Yep.
Your brain would be a little duller.
Yep.
And you'd be walking around like a little old zombie. But you would have no more life in you than, and probably not as much as you had before.
Mm-mm.
A pill cannot heal you.
That's right.
All a pill does, and I'm not knocking taking medicine. Be sure you understand that. All a pill does is position your body so the body can heal itself.
Amen.
That's all it does. It
takes care of the symptoms.
It positions your mind so that you can have understanding. If you take that same pill with the Word, now the Word will come up and bring life to you.
Amen.
Because you got a pill there that can help you position yourself to understand. Now you're having the Word come in, and now you got something working for you. If you take the pill that's been prescribed with the Word, now you're miles ahead. Your body may heal itself eventually, or it may not. But the Word always has life in it.
Amen.
So don't just take your medicine. Take the medicine with the Word. Don't just go to the doctor. Go to the doctor with the Word. Go with faith and understanding. Receive the Word, and don't wait till you're sick to receive the Word.
Amen.
Walk in divine health with the Word. But we don't do that. We don't take the time to do it. And that's the problem. It takes time. We got to turn off Batman Conquers the Martians in order to receive the Word. Don't we? We got to position ourselves. That's where our major problem is. We don't position ourselves. So, it's got to enter and be unfolded before it can bring forth light or life. And then, you can't be so stupid that the Word won't work. It will work for you. Okay, because the entrance and unfolding of the Word brings light even to the simple.
You know, may I ask this? What do you think the medical field would be like if all doctors understood this principle?
Oh, boy.
Think about it.
Oh, think about it. Let's say, sister, I'm going to prescribe this to you, but you understand. You understand. Speak the Word, and here's the scriptures that go with it.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the scriptures. When I see you next time, you won't need this anymore. Or we can reduce it because you're taking the Word with it.
Amen.
And I'll be praying for you. I've got a whole list of people I pray for every day. I'm praying for you as you take this pill. What a dynamic. Now, there are Christian doctors out there that do that.
I had a situation where I had a heavy inflammation and sickness in one portion of my body. I went to the doctor and he gave me 7 days of antibiotics. I took them, went back to him. He ran all the tests and blood tests and checked everything. And he came back in. He said, Eldon, he said, I have good news for you. He said, that prescription I gave you really worked. But he said, I want to tell you something else. He said, there was somebody much more powerful in that prescription that was working with the prescription.
Amen.
That the prescription could be a blessing.
Amen. He saw it.
My doctor told me that.
He saw that. He saw it. Mm-hmm. And that's the truth of the word.
That blessed me so
much. Oh, yeah. And what's wrong with us going when we go to the doctor, say, Doctor, can I pray with you before you examine me? Maybe he'll let you, maybe he won't. But you, that's not stopping you from praying. Father, I bless this doctor. I call forth revelation. I thank you that, Father, his words will be your words. I thank you he has knowledge beyond his understanding, and he'll see things and have revelation beyond his own understanding.
Yes.
And I thank you for the blessing upon this man as he ministers in his office as doctor. There's nothing wrong with that. He may think you're stupid or strange, but that's okay. He'll have knowledge.
Yeah.
Praise God. Psalm 119:50. Just David said it this way. He said, this is my comfort in my affliction, for your word has given me life. David knew where his life come from. This is my comfort in my affliction, for your word has given me life. I like that. Now,
and
verse 9.
It also says, some of them say, revived me. So that's where your revival comes from, too.
It comes from the word. Psalm 119:92. Unless your law had been my delight, I would have perished in my affliction. I will never forget your precepts or your word, for by them you have given me life. He acknowledged what would have happened had he not been in the word. Unless your law or your word had been my delight. Whose delight? David was delighting in the word. That's why it worked. He activated it. He activated the word. That's what happens when you delight in something. You believe it. You trust it. You're adhering to it and you're thankful for it. So he said, unless your law or your word had been my delight, so is the word your delight. I would then have perished in my affliction. So he acknowledges, had I not done that, had I not delighted in your word, I would have perished. I would have died. But because I delighted in your word, I did not die. I will never forget your precepts or your word. For by them you have given me life. God's living word is the seed of life. God's living word is the seed of life. Luke 8:11 and Luke 4:14 both talk about the parable of the sower sows the seed. And you know we're out of time already, so I can't go in there, but I'm just going to make a few comments. That's a series in and of itself. We've done it in the past, and we'll probably get into it here in the Word in this series later on. But God's living Word is the seed of life. In Luke 8:11, it says, now the parable is this. The seed is the Word of God. Jesus himself said, the seed is the Word of God. Then in the same parable, but written by Luke, or Mark, I mean, Mark 4:14, it says, the sower sows the word. So we see two different things in those two parables. They're the same parable written by two different apostles. In Luke 8, we see that the seed is the Word of God. But in Mark 4, the sower sows the word. What do you sow? You sow seed.
Amen.
So they're both saying the same thing. Well, if that's the case, it would be nice if all we had to do was run around and sow seeds. All we had to do was talk the word, talk the word, talk the word. If that's all we had to do, and there was nothing else involved, then we would have a ton of harvest out here. But, there's always a but. But, there are things that hinder that seed. And we would be wrong if we didn't bring up what hinders the seed. I need to know how to sow the seed. I need to know where to put the seed. I need to realize that God's Word is the seed and God's Word contains life. But what about what hinders that? Satan's not going to run around out here and just let us sow seed. He's going to do his best to keep us away from that, to hinder that seed. So he's going to give us opportunities to hinder the seed we're sowing. So we need to also be aware of what hinders, and we need to deal with that. So Romans 8:6 simply says, being carnally or fleshly minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace.
Yeah.
So one thing that will hinder the seed of the word from coming up in our lives is to be carnally or fleshly minded, right, to be worldly minded. To be spiritually minded is walking a love walk. That's the best you can do in being spiritually minded, because that is, love is the way of God. That makes you spiritually minded. When you stay in the word and you walk in love with that word by faith, because faith works by love, now you're spiritually minded.
Amen.
But if you are hindered in your love walk, that will hinder the seed of the word. So Romans 8:6 again, for to be carnally minded is death. So you cannot expect the seed that contains the living word to come to bring forth a harvest if you're carnally minded, because it's death. There's no life coming from you. There's no activation of that word. You can't activate it because you're carnally minded. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Now, if you're spiritually minded, you can activate the word, because the word brings forth life.
Amen.
Okay. Now let's read Mark 4:18 and 19, because it also tells us some things that hinder the word from coming to pass, from coming to harvest, from being activated. And it also tells what happens when the word is activated, but it's not nourished. We ain't got time to go through all of that. But if you read Mark chapter 4, the sower sows the seed. It talks about the seed that's sown on stony ground, the seed that's sown among thorns. The seed had the life in it, but it wasn't able to bring forth because of the ground that it was in. Those people were carnally minded. But the one I want to point out to is the things that we all got to watch out for every day in our life if we're going to activate this seed. How many here and on Facebook and on listening to me, how many of you don't want life? How many of you don't want that life to come forth and to bring forth harvest in your life? I don't think there's anyone, born again or not, that don't want life, that don't want good times and good things happening in their life. You're a fool if you don't. If you get up every morning and say, I want the worst day of my life to happen today. I don't want any good. I want everybody coming against me everywhere I go. I want everybody mad at me. I don't think anybody does that.
Sounds to me like you're going to a political meeting.
I think something's wrong here, don't you? No, but many of us, without saying it, get up that way expecting it. We'll get out of bed and we'll expect those things to happen. Well, I don't think anybody on purpose wants it. Well, if you don't want it, don't do what causes it. You'll do what brings forth life. Well, Mark 4:18 talks about what hinders the word from bringing forth life. And the ones sowing, now this is Mark 4:18 and 19, Amplified Classic, I like it a lot better. And the ones sowing among the thorns are others who hear the word. Notice they still heard the word. They all heard it. They all read it. They all know what it said. Every one of them. But these are the ones who hear the word. So they're all alike. Then the cares and anxieties of the world and distractions of the age and the pleasure and delight and false glamour and deceitfulness of riches and the craving and passionate desire for other things creep in and choke and suffocate the word, and it becomes fruitless. It wasn't fruitless. It had the same life in it. The same. It's God's life. It's his life. There's no end to that life in that seed. but it was hindered. It was prevented. It started to give forth life. It started, but it was hindered. Who hindered it? Not God. Really, Satan didn't hinder it. We hinder it ourselves.
All carnal stuff.
Because who do these? Who now? Satan will present the opportunity to do these things, but I have to cooperate. I have to do the things that he presents.
Amen.
So I need to resist these. Then the cares and anxieties of the world. I need to resist the cares of this world. The cares of everyday life. Well, I got to live, Brother Mike. Yes, but you cast your cares on him, for
That's
he cares
right.
for you. You walk through life in peace and rest because of your faith and trust in the Word. But you can't walk that way if you're not in the Word.
That's right.
If you don't believe it, if you don't spend time in it, if you don't make a quality decision, you made a decision to believe that problem. You made that decision. You decided this is going to happen. You decided that. Well, with the same power of decision, decide that the Word's going to work instead.
Yeah.
Believe the Word instead. Set your minds and keep it set. And the cares and anxieties of the world, the distractions of the age. There's so many distractions around us. Television, other people, things, desires, wanting to get away. Well, wherever you go, who's there with you? You are. You can't get away. Stay where you are and get your life right. And walk right with God and let Him decide where you go. Okay, and the delight in false glamour and deceitfulness of riches. Now you can have that problem and not be rich. You can desire money and think about it all the time. And it will keep the Word from working in your life. And the craving and passionate desire for other things. You want more than you got. You're constantly seeking that. Let God give you what you need. You seek Him. And then He pours out exceedingly abundantly above all you can ask or think. But you're wasting your time and not even accomplishing what you want by seeking and craving those other things.
The deceitfulness of riches.
That's what it said, the deceitfulness. Who's the deceiver? He uses that to deceive. So these are things that suffocate and choke the Word. And choke the Word. So it becomes fruitless. It wasn't fruitless. It became fruitless.
Mm-hmm.
Father, we thank You for this time in the Word today. We thank You, Lord, that You'll bring this forth in us and cause us to understand Your Word is alive and it's living. And we receive it, Father. We treat it with great joy and treat it with great respect. We receive Your Word with joy in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.